Kia ora, Godani Alamoa te Koksaho. No Mikey te whare, welcome to the house. How will decisions made about COVID-19, climate change, housing, and an aging population play out 40 years from now? The Treasury is making predictions and wants the public to weigh in. It's released a draft of its statement on the long-term fiscal position, and the public are invited to send in a submission with their input. Deputy Secretary of the Treasury Brian Chappell says fiscal policy covers a wide range of topics, and Treasury is interested in any comments people have.
Every 4 years, or at least every 4 years, the Treasury's required under the Public Finance Act to produce a statement on the long-term fiscal position of New Zealand that looks out at least 40 years ahead. So we're about to do one of those. We were due to do one in February last year, but because of COVID, we were almost ready to hit publication, but we postponed it and have an extension until September this year. There's a new Public Service Act which also requires governments to do a long-term insights briefing. This year, we're combining the insights briefing and the fiscal statement together, and that's what we're about to consult on.
Can you tell me more about this insights briefing?
Yeah, sure. So the idea of the insights briefing is that each government department will pick a topic or topics relevant to the work of that agency and that are important for the long-term future of New Zealand or New Zealand society, and prepare a report on that. It's to be done independent of ministers and to contain information that looks at those trends and provides some potential policy options. So they're not intended to make policy recommendations, that's for Parliament and policymakers, but to provide some options and analysis and to put it out in the public domain. Now, that document has two consultation requirements, one on the proposed topic that each agency chooses and a second on its draft report. We consulted on the topic in March. We're now publishing our draft and consulting on that. There'll be a four-week consultation period, and we're just keen to get lots of, as many submissions as we can from people telling us what they think about it.
The number of submissions on that initial consultation in March, I was quite surprised to see was quite low. There's about five submissions there, and then I think it spoke with about eight experts as well to gather information. It's quite usual to have a combination of submissions from the public and some experts as well. But from that, there were some interesting insights from what the public would like to see as part of the topics of the statement. Can you give me a little bit of a summary about what you've ended up with?
Yeah, sure, of course. So the number of submissions was less than we had hoped for, but that said, they were really useful, and the conversations that we had with people I found really interesting and helpful as well. So we're definitely keen to get as much feedback as we can, so talking to you is a good part of that. So one of the things that people mentioned was that we need to think long term about the purpose of the tax system and how much it's just about raising revenue versus changing people's behaviour. So what economists sometimes call corrective taxes, for example, to encourage different types of environmental behaviour. So petrol taxes might be an example of that, or other environmental taxes. There's also a question that some raised around what the role of government is, I guess. So when something goes wrong, how much do we expect the government and taxpayers collectively to help with that versus how much do we expect individuals to deal with those things? So if you think about the health system, what's the right balance between what we do collectively as society through a public health system and what people do individually? Superannuation is another one of those questions, and there's lots of others. Earthquake, climate change are all big things where there's a choice for society about where risk lays.
There were some interesting submissions on superannuation as well, and you know, the timing of when people will be able to receive it. How much of that can you actually involve in your statement?
Superannuation is a topic that people feel passionately about, and for good reason. One comment that people often make, and we have some analysis on this in our draft report, is that the life expectancy is different for different ethnic groups. So that means the number of years that someone may receive superannuation varies. So that's a topic that people commented on. And one of the other ones is that because house prices are higher now than they were, and quite a bit higher now than they were 20 or 30 years ago relative to incomes, the idea that most people will retire and own their own home when they're in superannuation is a question about whether that will hold in the future. And so what does that mean in terms of superannuation policy? So previously, Treasury has suggested things like increasing the age, for example, of eligibility. Well, do those factors mean you're more cautious about doing that, for example?
So looking forward to the submissions that you're opening up for now, what would you like to hear from people?
So genuinely, we're interested in any comments people have. Fiscal policy covers a wide range of things. It impacts on us all, the way in which governments choose to manage both taxes and expenditure. We've analysed a couple of areas in more detail around health and superannuation because they are quite big drivers of government expenditure and are likely to increase in the future. So are there other things that we should have analysed? Are there other ways of thinking about those two issues that we haven't thought about? And particularly if people have got information or data that would help in doing the analysis, we would be really grateful for that. There will be a limit, of course, as to how much we can pick up in our final report, but all that information will be useful as we go about doing our policy analysis. We also have some analysis of the impact of different types of tax changes. So one option if you're worried about debt increasing is to reduce spending, which I've talked about. Another option is to increase taxation, and there's different ways in which governments could do that. Again, do people think we've captured the relevant impacts of the different types of taxation changes there? And are there others that we haven't thought about, or are there different information sources that would give us new insight into how to think about tax policy?
Do you have any advice for how people should craft their submission? Is there a particular type of person you'd like to hear from?
This is about policy for all New Zealanders and for New Zealand. So it's not just something for economists or those with a deep interest in fiscal policy, although of course we are interested in their views. But young people, for example, are going to be affected by the decisions that governments make over the next 20 or 30 years. And so we're very keen to hear about young people, about how they want governments to make those decisions, because they're the ones for whom some of the impacts will be felt. So, no, really wide-ranging impacts, wide-ranging submissions we're keen to hear from. And in terms of topics or how they go about doing it, be succinct and be clear. That always helps. But aside from that, no, we just welcome people's views.
So could it be as personal as someone telling their own story of trying to buy a house?
For example, yes, that's right. And if they can tie it back to what that means for the kinds of government policy areas that we're looking at, that will help us. But yes, absolutely.
What do you do with that information once you've gathered it all together? How is it used?
So all those submissions will come in, and the team that are involved in putting together the statement will go through them and look at, are there some common themes? Are there some or particular issues that we haven't covered? And then we will have to have a discussion about what can we incorporate in the final version, and how do we do that? Is there some new analysis that we'll do? Is there some new data that we can incorporate? Maybe there's some different impacts about the types of policies we've talked about that we need to just change the text and how we describe those. And so we'll do all of those, go through and look at all of those things. But more generally, the people who read those submissions, that information sticks around in your consciousness, and people will think about that in their ongoing policy advice work for government as well. So even if it doesn't make it into the final version of this document, it will still be people will still have read it and thought about it, and it will influence how they think about these questions. We'll also publish a summary of the submissions that we receive.
So is it fair to say that while Treasury does not control government, government does not control Treasury, Treasury is in government's ear?
You should ask ministers that. We have a role set out under legislation to provide independent, impartial analysis on these things, and that's what we're trying to do here. It is completely the realm of ministers and parliament as to the decisions they make based on that. We are genuinely trying to do a public service here in providing impartial information and analysis to help people make to make good decisions on behalf of New Zealanders.
That analysis of 40 years into the future just seems kind of like soothsaying to me. How do you predict that far ahead, and why do you look so far? Or is it not actually that far ahead?
Well, for some things, it's not that far ahead, and some of the types of changes or decisions that governments make will have very long-lasting impacts. So think about climate change, which is something we've started to analyse in this statement for the first time. That is going to be a change over a number of years, over a generation or two, I guess, and the decisions taken by governments will have long-lasting impacts. So you do need to look over a sufficiently long time period to do that. But that said, none of us here at the Treasury would pretend that the sorts of scenarios we're presenting in this draft document are how things are actually going to turn out. In fact, we can be clear they won't turn out that way. For the first time in this statement, we've got two different types of models. One is our traditional one, where we assume that nothing changes in terms of policy and we just extrapolate trends. So we know that won't happen because governments are always making changes. So we assume tax revenue stays roughly where it is as a share of GDP. And then we know that there's some things that will mean that expenditure will continue to increase if nothing changes. So health and superannuation are two, in particular because of demographic changes. So that's unrealistic, but it does show it's useful, not because that's what we think will happen. We don't think it will happen, but it gives an illustration of the scale of the changes that might need to happen in order to deal with the increased debt level that would otherwise occur. So that's the first and traditional type of model we have. This time we've also introduced a new economic model, which has feedback loops in it. So if, for example, the government decides to, for argument's sake, change superannuation entitlements and reduce them in some way, or increase taxes, then those changes are assumed to have some impact on the economy. For example, people might work less or more or longer through their lives or save more or less. And that then feeds back into economic activity and then into how much taxes is raised, for example, and what the debt level is. So it's what we call a dynamic model. So we've tried to look at how those feedback loops work as well. So there's some, you know, if you're into the geeky part of economics, there's some really interesting analysis there that I hope people will find useful and helpful.
What steps will be taken once these documents are finalised? What will Parliament do?
So we will finalise this statement in this combined statement at the end of September, and the Minister then has to table it in Parliament. And I understand after that, it will go to Select Committee at some point, possibly next year, because the process for the insights briefings, of which this is contains both this and the fiscal statement, means that they go to Select Committee. And so there'll be an opportunity too for a Select Committee to discuss this work.
It's up to Select Committees to decide whether or not they will invite public submissions on anything that they're examining, but is it likely that that would happen in this case?
That's a good question. I don't know. This is new. So this is the first time that insights briefings are a new change in this new Public Service Act, and the Treasury's is the first that will happen. So we're yet to see exactly how the process works. So to some extent, we're all working out together how to make this work and be as useful and as informative as possible. Even if select committees don't formally call for submissions, parliamentarians will no doubt have heard comments either from constituents or in the media that's analysing some of the information in them, and so will no doubt draw on that in their questioning anyway.
What's the reasoning behind doing one of these statements every 4 years?
You would have to go back and ask the people who amended the Public Finance Act for that, but I think the idea is that for the long-term fiscal statement, you want something that is sufficiently frequent that changes in circumstances can be taken account of, but not so often that you'd diminish the usefulness and the new information you get. So you need to try and find that Goldilocks period of the right amount of time. For the long-term insights briefing, that's only on a 3-year cycle, and normally they're intended to be in the middle of the parliamentary term, so that they don't get too close to an election period, and it's easier for government departments to give an account of the various issues they're considering.
That's the Deputy Secretary at the Treasury, Brian Chappell. Submissions must be in by July 30. Details of where to send them can be found on Treasury's website. I te whakarongo koe ki te whare. You've been listening to The House. He hōtake pua ki ngā tētahi pūtea āwhina nō mai I te pārimata. Mā te wā.